This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Embracing Change. We are so excited that you've joined us because we have a very special episode and a very special guest with us today, Miss Deborah Merritt. Wonderful lady. So glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to this episode on so many levels. But Lakrita, you wanted to invite Deborah because she has some great insights into your life.
Well, Deborah has been, and as I was praying just a minute ago, Deborah has been many things for me over the last 30 years of my life and my journey of learning who Christ is and learning how to be me. Like we talked about through this whole podcast, and we've talked about real intimately and very transparently and authentic about my journey in a deeper way. And even you have said that. And
yeah.
So I just wanted to invite my friend, my sister, my counselor, my mentor, a person of truth, a prophetic word, a person who has been committed to my life, even when I can be ugly. Trust me, but a person who could see the potential in me and was willing to go the long haul, even in her own life and things she's done. From the day I met her, I was at a church, and she was singing worship. She was a pastor at another church, and she had her sailor suit on. I'll never forget that. And she was the worship leader, and I saw her, and it was just something about her that said to me, and I was new in the walk. And I had went there with another friend for New Life. I went there with a friend to see a baptism. And we, when I saw her, and I was like, God, there's something special about her. Oh, God, I want to be like her. And I didn't even really know her at all. I just felt her spirit from the pulpit.
Yeah.
I felt her spirit, and I was
her
like,
anointing too.
Anointing,
sure.
And her gifting and just her presence. It was so strong. God was so strong. And I was like, I remember telling, it was Guy Hodges. I was saying, oh man, I got to meet her. And then I promise you, it wasn't probably maybe six to 8 weeks later. She showed up at our church. And I remember telling Geneva, like, she's going to be my mentor. She's going to be my mentor. And, of course, we were such, no funny, and I'm going to turn it on, but we were such, like, little people, and they were such giants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were, you know, like they say, we were little, like the people who went to see the Promised Land. We were little people in our own eyes, and they were giants. And it was like, you know, even to get next to them was, like, going to be, like, we had this false evidence appearing real, I guess. It's not fear, but this perception that if we just get next to them, then what they got, we'll get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me and Janine, we used to be in the back of the church thinking like that. And Janine would be like, no, she ain't going to be your mentor. They got too much going on. Look, we nobodies. I said, I don't care what you saying. And it goes back to what I've said thus far in my journey. It wasn't that I had to hear a voice anymore to tell me that this was the way to go. It was just that I knew when I saw her that she had something for me.
And you spoke it into existence.
And I spoke it into existence, and then I pursued it.
And you claimed it, yeah. That's really cool. So she's going to be able to even not only expound on her relationship with you, but also in a bigger way, the name of this episode, which is Loving Others as a Shepherd versus a Sheriff. So you're going to be able to really dig into that, I am sure. So,
wow. Well, first, I'm glad to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me. And just as you have invited me into your life, these almost 30 years, she's absolutely true. She pursued me to be her mentor, and my first initial response, well, no, you're not ready. No, I don't think so.
She did. She told me no.
The initial response was no.
Did she ask you upon initially meeting her, or did you know her just a little bit before she asked you?
I didn't really have a relationship at all with her before she asked me.
Gotcha.
But she probably had more things going on about how this relationship was going to go than I did. And so she pursued, like she said, and decided this was the day. and I, it was a negative response, but she looked a little disappointed, but it didn't matter because she came back. She was going to get the response she was looking for, and she did it. And I am so humbled by having served her for these many years and having been with her. And I've enjoyed our journey together. And believe me, we have ups and downs, and she's pulled a sword out on me as well. Most people think that she done cut my ear. She done cut my ears off, but yes, she does. She's done it, and but I chose to stay. I chose to be with her. I guess I picked up my own ear and put it back on.
Many times. You know, even when I went back to Deborah, I'll never forget when she saw, you know, because rejection and insecurity was always my enemies. You know what I mean? They were, so for her to tell me no and I wasn't ready, I ain't going to lie, it's like I had just left a counseling session that day, too. And I told her, I said, I just came from the counseling set, my last counseling session. My counselor had asked me, what's my next step? And I said, well, I see this woman, you know, she's in church, and I think I'm going to set an appointment up for her, and I'm going to ask her to mentor me. I think that it's just the next step for me. And she was like, yeah, that's good. And then I get there, and this woman says to me, I don't think you're ready for me to mentor you. And I looked at her like, why? And she said, well, I'm not really sure, but I just don't think you're ready. I said, the nerves of her. I did. I left, and I was humbled, but I was like, the nerve of her. Who's she? And then I thought, thinking about what Geneva and them was saying, like, they're giants. You know what I mean? Like, we're little people, and, you know, they
you're too. You're basically not important enough,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. It was, and so I could hear that coming to me, but I fought it because I said, no, if she's saying I'm not ready, there must be something that she sees that I'm not seeing. And so I think it took me a few months, and then I came back. And she, by the time she was, you know, she was working at Christ Emmanuel. She was an executive pastor. And that made her even bigger at that point. But it's like, I'm just going to pursue her anyway. Like, right. I know what the Lord, I feel like, I can't even say it was the Lord. I know it is now. But then it was like, I dare her. No.
Was I already at Christ Emmanuel?
Yes. Yeah. You was already at Christ Emmanuel, but then you became like the executive pastor. It was a very short time, but then you became like second in command.
And I think I probably too was trying to get settled in Christ Emmanuel myself because I was new on the team.
Yes.
And to take on a responsibility that I wasn't sure of, it was like, no, I don't think so. And so it may have even more to do with me than it did to do with you. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I was getting used to being there, and all that team, that leadership team, mm-hmm. was new for me. Because as she shared, I was at New Life Temple for many years, and I had just left there, and I was in a position of administrator assistant mm-hmm. at first.
At first, you were.
When I got to Christ Emmanuel. But LaGrita saw me as a giant.
I did.
I didn't see myself as a giant, but she saw me as a giant. And I guess it was what she saw when I was at the other church. So, but it all worked out. And she, like I said, she's very persistent. She knew what she wanted. And she came back and I said, yes. I guess I thought, if you have enough nerve to come back? My God.
She did. She was like, and you're back to ask me the same question? And I said, yes. I said, I know you said I wasn't ready, but that was like 3 months ago, almost 4 months ago. Do you think I'm ready now? And she looked at me. She said, I don't know if you are ready or not, but let's talk a little bit. What do you feel like you're needing? Mm. And I just told her, I said, I feel like that, you know, you are a woman of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to learn. I said, I've been through a lot. I said, you know, I told her a little bit of my story. And she said, no, I've already heard about your story.
Right.
She said, but I want to know about what you think you need from me. And I said, I just feel like I need some guidance and somebody to just, you know, hold me accountable and not just tell me yes all the time. And she's like, well, because I'm letting you know I don't fight people. From what I can sense in you and discern in you, you're a fighter. I was like, I won't fight you. And she was like, I'm just letting you know I don't do no fighting. And then I'll never forget this one thing she said to me through that at the end. She looked at me, she said, "Now you know everything you are and everything you ever will be is by the grace of God, right?" And I was like, "Yes, yes." And she's like, "Okay, I have a book that I want you to read." Wow. And she said, and it was by Jay Packer.
J.I. Packer.
About grace. And yeah, he said, "I need you to go buy that book. Here it is. It was on your desk." And I thought she was giving me hers. She's like, "No, I need you to Triune Bookstore. They have them there. I want you to go there and buy you that book. And when you start reading it and when we meet, I want you to be able to tell me about that book."
Wow.
And I was like, "Okay." And I went right at that day. I went from Laidlaw right to Triune Books and bought that book. And when I came back the next month, I had half of it read and highlighted it. And she's like, she said, that was really when she knew that I was serious.
And ready and wanted it, you know, really, really wanted what I had to offer. And, you know, and I think I probably had more of a regimented idea of what mentoring would be than what it turned out, because it really turns out to be just real life, just watching and talking and living with each other in real life and sharing ups and downs and highs and lows. So I enjoy that part of mentoring, but you know, sharing that book with J.I., I think it's A Gift of Faithfulness. Yeah. I don't know, but it's a really, really great book, an older publication, and it's about the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. And we enjoyed that together. And then I had, back in those days, I was doing a lot of teaching on worship. That was where I was spending most of my time in service, was as a worship leader, but I did a lot of teaching on worship. And I'd gone to the seminar and got this paper called The Harness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was by Bright, writer, yes, but Bill Bright.
Matter of fact, I think we should, I don't know if we have a chance, but I actually have copies of it because I redone it. She gave it to me. And she's like, "I want you to read this too."
Right. And that one was so appropriate, though, because I think everybody received Lucreta, that she had great testimony, big dreams, all the energy to make it happen. But back then, I don't think a whole lot of people was helping her to harness it so it could get done.
Wow. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And so, when we put together that the harness of the Lord, and you have to read it, but it talks about waiting, standing still long enough to get the harness on you. Not, you know, because it takes some taming of that horse to harness that horse. You know, be still. I got to get it on you. And so you can buck and buck and buck. But if you can allow that harness to be laid on you, now you're ready to start working on what you need to work on and getting done what you need to get done. So it took a whole lot of us meeting and talking together and me getting to know her. We really did have to get to know each other. We found out that we had some similar experiences mm-hmm. on the same road, and all of that came
Deborah
out.
Deborah just
of
was
open.
A good child, not me.
I was
obedient.
I obeyed the commandments of my life a lot quicker than Lucreta did.
That's funny.
But we shared, and I think we have, through the years, gave each other something.
What was your first impressions of her? Like, the first time she came to you, obviously, it didn't impact you that you needed to be a mentor. And that could have been because of stuff that was going on with you. But what was your real first impression of her, having known her story and her wanting to have you as her mentor?
Well, like I said, I don't think that I didn't want to be the mentor, being able to be the mentor. And like I said, I am a shoot from the hip truth teller.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to show you black and white, maybe in a more peaceful way, a way where you'll accept it, but I'm not going to lean in the gray, as I said, just to fight you, just to get the job done.
Yeah.
So, like, and I was watching her life, and she got a lot of encouragement, but Lucreta really wanted help.
Yeah.
And I think most people, there it is, I think most people sometimes will tell you, oh, that's great, yeah, go get it, go do it, but they don't really help you. And there's so many places that you need help in, so many places of smoothing out that you need. And I saw Lucreta, I saw that's what she wanted, but I didn't think that she would receive it because I think she had a hoorah corner. You know, people cheering her on and people saying, wow, wow, wow. And I thought, she's not going to want to slow down and come the way that I want. And so that kind of was more of the apprehension. But after we got into it, I saw how much she really, really, really wanted to receive. She wanted to be different. And it was a journey, and it was a long, hard journey, and she did a lot of things her way. But when I had opportunities to correct her because of the way we began, she would stop to listen. Sometimes she would tell me before, sometimes she would tell me after it was done. But if I had to say, now, Lucreta, let's talk about that, she would stop to listen and say, okay, well, how can I fix this? Or tell me what to do. No, I really want to know what to do. You know what I mean? And I think the Lord had us have that beginning, knowing your personality and knowing mine, to help her be able to receive. And I think you had a certain respect for me.
Oh, you was like Jesus. Like, of course. I mean, I know you wasn't, but it was like, for me, you were, oh my God, you were illuminating. Like, whether you was throwing, you know, almond joys across the pulpit, or whether you was climbing over the pulpits, you like walked on water, walked in air. You were like, oh my God, like, yeah, but you're right. It was like, I've always, you know, and the topic is, you know, from the sheriff to the shepherd, you know what I'm saying? I was so rigid and legalistic in my own way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved and respected her, but it was still like, girl, please. Like, I hear you. Girl, please. I mean, because I had this rah-rah corner because I came into the church in the 90s when the Baptist people were starting to move into a different way.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit was coming in. It was pouring in. And I came in a time of the church when, you know, things were moving and God used my testimony to get up in front of people and tell my nakedness and unashamed story, which most people would have never done, and the Holy Spirit. So people was just pulled by that.
Yeah.
And so she's right. When she came into my life, it was like, is she going to bow down? Like, is she going to bow down? Because at that point, God, you know, I had felt like that everything was going the way, whether from the counseling, from the this, from the that, was going exactly the way I felt like it. And she was like, hold up, let's slow down. And, you know, you want help, but you can't tell help how to help you. You know, that kind of thing. And it was like, okay. And then I just really, she began to give me, like, I just found the harness in my book you talked about. This is my book. This right here, my binder. This is my journey.
It's your history.
It's my history.
It's your history, yeah.
You know, it's what has helped me, the things that have helped me. And when she bought this, I went, it was all in rugged paper, and I went and got it redone for her.
Yeah, because I had actually picked that up off the floor out of that seminar. It really wasn't my paper, but I grabbed one because I was so impressed by it. And I think, like I said, it's by Bill Bright, but like from the early 70s.
It was from an unknown author, but Bill Bright is the person who published it.
Yeah, it's from the unknown author. And so anyway, and so when it just became
the way we work together.
A high part of our working together. Because, you know, again, a paper found on the floor. That's going somewhere.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah. And it was so amazing because when she gave it to me, it was all, you know me, I'm real neat. And yep, I was like, she gave it to me. I was like, this paper is raggedy. And she said, okay, let's not look at the paper. Just look at the words.
She had it redone for her. She says she had it redone for you, but it was really for her.
Yeah, it was for her.
I said, we need to redo this. I said, let's make it and put a horse on it and really make it your, you know, because it's an unknown author. It's what you use. And I said, let's really do it up. And so I got my friend who worked with me, who was working with me in ministry, Pam Washington, who was like my administrative assistant. She had saw my gifts as well, and she had came alongside me. She the one helped me write up the ministry, helped me do the things that you're redoing. She was my first person who saw what God could do in me, and she saw my vision, and she was just happy to help. She didn't charge me. She just was my friend. Mm-hmm. But she could see, like you said, she was in that raw corner of mine, and she just seen the gifts on my life, and she believed that I could do. She said, you can do anything.
And I think, LaCreta, a lot of times the Lord has just put people in your life that was going to smooth out an edge. You know, that was the timing that they were going to be there. That was a reason that they were going to be there. And through your journey, you have just seen that over and over and over. Because, you know, also we had that skepticism back in the day of prostituting your gifts and making money off of you. All of those things were huge because the Church of Lord Jesus Christ was in a firecracker kind of timing where it was just really burst of fire coming in. And if you came in with a testimony, you told it, and it created fire for until the next one came with something. Hmm. And so it was a lot of abuse. It was a good time, and it was a great time. It was a wonderful time. But people did take advantage of each other, and maybe not knowingly, but they did. But I was always cognizant that I did not want people to take advantage of
me.
That I didn't. I would just.
And she would tell me that. She was like, LaCreta, slow down. You know, everybody can say what they're saying, but not necessarily they mean what they're saying. They got good intentions. And I'd be like, this is the church. Why would I know that's in the street? Well, I mean, I know that in the street.
Yeah, she just didn't believe it in the church until she lived it out. Yeah. But I'm a church girl. And it was like,
and that was
slow
the difference.
Down.
See, that's why I know now, you know, Deborah, even, you know, today when I look back over my life and I see, like you just said, that God always kind of sent what I needed. Mm-hmm. Because even coming from the world, mm-hmm. he sent me you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he knew I needed it because I was entering into the body of Christ and I needed someone to help me navigate it.
Right.
Because I was so gung-ho on, I wasn't a dummy. I knew how to survive.
Right.
But I was wanting to give up some of those tactics in some ways, but then wanted to trust and see what y'all had. I wanted it. But, you know, it almost reminds me of a scripture. Remember when in the scripture that it talks about when they wanted the Holy Spirit and they was willing to buy it?
Right. They were so excited and anxious.
They
thought, well, this is great. Can I buy it?
What
would it take?
And my thing was not that I wanted to buy it. I just wanted it.
So bad.
And I was willing to do whatever I needed to do to have it because I wanted it.
Right.
Because I knew where I came from. And so you came into my life in such a way. And so the piece about being a sheriff to a shepherd is because you have, you know, looked at everything I've done in ministry. You came alongside and you even would say to me, LaCreta, when I look at the ministry that God has given you, let's go back a little. I'm going to go back somewhere. You might not remember this. Mm-hmm. One of the people, and I won't mention their names out of confidentiality, but there was a person that they wanted to come alongside me with ministry. And you came to me and said, you know, LaCreta, I know what they're saying, but I would rather you not even start it if they got to go with you. Because what that's going to happen is that because I see what God has given you and the heart that he's given you, and it is what God's called you to do. And even Bishop Dantley said, I know that this is not for the church to do. Mm-hmm. But there was another group on the side that was in another position in the church that was thinking that if she's going to go, Remember they gave me an office at Christ Emmanuel?
I remember.
You know, and they was like, if she's going to go and do it, we're going to put her over her. Mm-hmm. And you kept saying, I don't think if you let, I can't tell you not to go. I can't tell you not to do it. But I'm thinking if they, if the church wants to guide you and put that person over you, I would suggest you hold up. I'll never forget that. And I'm so glad I did, mm-hmm. because eventually it was shown mm-hmm. that that would have been a catastrophe mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I remember you telling me, you said, now you can go because I know you're ready. And it right. took another almost year for it to finally come to pass. Right. And that's when Doris Hughes gave me their house on Kenny, mm-hmm. and things just began to flow. And then things just came. And remember, people came
right.
and they saw.
Right.
And then you said, see, right. you're waiting. They came and they saw.
Exactly. Exactly. And though that's just an example of me being that person. And sometimes that's not the easiest person to be. You know, that person is not the easiest person to be, because a lot of times you can feel like you're throwing salt on the wings of a bird. You know, when you throw salt on that wings, it's harder to fly. And you don't want to be that person, but yet you have enough experience to know, or insight, or prophetic insight, or
come
whatever,
on,
or the wisdom that the Lord is saying, to say this is not good for you.
Yeah.
And that's who probably in that shepherd.
She was my shepherd.
To the shepherd. It was like I was the one that was having her come. Okay, you don't have to be a shepherd. I mean, you don't sheriff. Have to be a sheriff. You don't, everything does not have to.
You don't have to work that hard.
Remember, I think I remember telling you, I said, LaQuita, and everything, you don't have to have rules.
Right. You did, and you said, you ain't got to bring your handcuffs to everything.
Right.
She used to tell me that all the time, like, everything don't have to be a rule, because I was such a rule keeper.
Right.
Yeah. It was how I was made. It was what, you know, really, it is how, even now that I'm here 30 years later, it is that piece of me that got me here, though.
Right.
It was how God made LaQuita. But the difference was, what she was saying to me is that I can't expect everyone else to be who I am.
Right, right, right.
And I was trying to put that on everybody else.
And you know, because when we come to the Lord out of our messy situations, it takes a certain amount of discipline or disciplinary acts to bring us in alignment. And we appreciate coming into alignment, and then we almost start making it a legal thing.
Come on.
Because mm-hmm. it brought me into alignment, and I need to just stay right on this line upon line. You know, I need to be walking, and as the old folks say, toeing the line. But what God wants to do is to allow those commandments, and I'm just doing some study on the Ten Commandments today, but allow those commandments to operate as grace in our life, we don't see them as rules, but we see them as the grace of God. God loved me so much that he's telling me how to live, and if I do this, this is going to work for my benefit, not keeping the rule.
Yeah, amen.
And then that's how that shepherd comes in. You know, in that Old Testament law giving, we got to remember, it was always about getting us to grace.
Amen, it was, yeah.
Always about it. And so even, you know, with what it took you to, which was rightly so, without a certain amount of discipline, we're not going to get where God wants us to be, but he don't want us to toe it in a legal sense.
Yeah, like as close as I can get over it without actually getting over it, and I'm still okay, right?
Yeah. Well,
like toeing that line.
Yeah. You know, this is what it takes. Yes, it does take this. You know, we raise our children. We're very clear. Giving them lines of demarcation. This, you can do this, you can't do that. We're very, very clear. But our goal is to get them to adult where they want to live like that.
Yeah, I got what
that's
you're saying.
That's the grace of God.
Yeah, I got what you're saying.
And they celebrate because you were so good. You have some kids come back and say, I'm so glad you taught me this. Well, now it's grace. It's not a rule, because they don't have to keep your rules anymore.
Because they're adults now.
They're adults now. But it was that rule that taught me how to love this way of life. Wow, that's what Paul was talking about. Mm-hmm. The law was the schoolmaster. Mm-hmm. It taught me how to live for God.
Yeah.
Amen.
But yeah. It's the grace of God that keeps me there. And it's my love for God that makes me want to be there. And I watched your life turn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I watched you go from rules and that keeping the law. And I understood it because it did take that to turn you around. But I also knew you can't stay in there.
Because then you used to always say to me, you know, Lucreta, I hear you. And yes, you're right about that. But let me tell you, if you operate from that, it's going to always be works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to produce the fruit you want.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And so you used to always say that to me. And I'm like, no, but I'm seeing a lot of stuff. And you said, because you're attracting rule keepers.
Exactly.
I was attracting people who wanted to keep the rules. So that was even people I was hiring.
Right.
She said, you're attracting what you are.
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean? They enjoy this. Even in the ministry, they like it. And she's like, yeah, because you're grouping them all together. And they like it because they law keepers.
Mm-hmm.
But what when God turn you, are you going to be able, are they going to turn with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because God is going to turn you into a space where you are a shepherd and not a sheriff. And will the sheriff-like-minded people be able to come alongside you? And I'd be like, yeah. And she was right. Not all of them
right.
was able to do it. Because over these last 7 years, I will say, I feel like it's been there's been times that she and I have had some hard moments where we've had to even step away from each other
mm-hmm.
in some seasons
mm-hmm.
where... Because not that we were even at strife with each other, but it was a season that God was bringing, like she says, somebody else in as she take a break. But she was always on the sidelines cheering me on and watching me.
Yeah.
And people knew if there was anyone that could harness Lucreta, they would, whether it was Bishop Danley, whether it was Roger, whether it was anybody, it was Deborah they would call. They would call Deborah. They would call. They say, we need a conversation with Lucreta.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of in a prior podcast, we were when I interviewed you, Deborah, and mm-hmm. we talked about how God brought mothers into your life
right.
for seasons
mm-hmm.
and for certain things. And it almost feels like that's what you were for Lucreta for a time, was like a mother retraining a child.
She was. I mean, she was mothering me in so many ways. My marriage, oh, my God. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, as we continue on, because this, I think I want you to be in both of these episodes
right.
as we close. But it's like one of the things, and we'll talk about, you know, the next one was talking about embracing peace. She had to, you know, part of her love for me as being my mother, you know what I'm saying? Because I, you know, the mother I knew, the one I love and respect today was still a law keeper.
Mm-hmm.
I never was nurtured
mm-hmm.
by a person to love me that way.
Yeah.
And Deborah was that person.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would be upset with her because she would love other people that way, too. And I think she need to pull her sword out. And I would be like, you know, now I think we need our sword. And
you want me to get them for you?
I will get them for you because they need to be cut. You know what I mean? And she would be like, no, Lucreta, I got this. Trust me. I've been living long enough to know how to handle people. But it was like her way for me was foreign. It was so foreign to me. And as we go into the next session, I'll talk about, but her foreign way to me has became my friend.
Yes.
You know what I'm
yes.
saying? Because now the way she operates is now the way that I see me and I'm operating. And that what she was trying to give me was a friend, which is called peace.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, Lucreta, I don't need to fight. You know, I know how to fight. My fighting is on through worship, through word,
ooh, that's
through
good.
Prayer. Mm-hmm. I know how to fight.
Because,
mm-hmm. yeah. you know, she used to tell me that all the time. I'm like, and that's all good. But some people just need to be told what to do. Again, I was a rule keeper. It's like, no, put them in line.
Yeah.
And so it was like, but she was nurturing me and mothering me and shepherding
yeah.
me
yeah.
and help asking me to lay down my badge, my handcuffs, And even my prison suit. She mm-hmm. was like, you don't have to keep being in prison, and you don't have to wear the uniform. You really, because that's what methods are. They become uniform.
Yeah, and I remember, and I know we're moving on. I remember the time, you know, when she had just really, really, she came to the ministry with the intention to deal with this person. Mm-hmm. And when she got there, she did. And I mean, it was like, whoa. And I'm just staring at and was like, oh, no.
She had never really seen me in action.
Yeah, you can't. Oh, my, you can't do that. No, no, no. But I went home. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, how can I tell her that that was absolutely wrong? She was wrong. That was not the way to handle that. And I just prayed. And we came back together in a couple of days, and she came to me and she said, you know, the Lord dealt with me.
He had dealt with me in the way that I approached this person. And I told Deborah, I said, you know what? I said, the Lord said, go ahead. That while you saw me at my worst, mm-hmm. it was really my best. Mm-hmm. Because that was the day I heard the Lord's voice speak to me and say, get it all out. Mm-hmm. Because you will never, ever represent me in this way again.
Wow.
Ever. Wow. Go ahead and get it out. And what he had told Deborah was that was part of her addiction. Part of her, you know, most people get high off of crack and opiates. Mm-mm. She gets high off of control and power. Mm-hmm. And he said that was her operating in her power, and I'm getting ready to exchange her power for my power.
Yeah, meaning she got that about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I wanted to tell her. I was like, how can I tell her that? But the Lord had already dealt with her, and I started off saying, you know you're the leader here, right? you know you're in charge, right? But the Lord had dealt with her so beautifully, and I think neither one of us will ever forget that moment because, I was like, you know, LaCretta, you're still getting high.
Yeah.
But you're taking that adrenaline and that power, and you're screaming it out, and you're loving the moment. And God says, no, you will not deal with people like that. That has to stop. And he had told her, you'll never do that again.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I mean, I had to go back and repent to the person and ask them to forgive me. And they did, you know what I mean? And they stayed because Deborah thought, ain't no way this woman's going to stay on this job. But they did. They stayed. You know what I mean? And because I think, again, God was bringing people in my life to love me into becoming a shepherd and to give up the sheriff position and then teaching me how to love others that way. But it starts with learning how to love yourself, letting him love you in a way of a shepherd and then a master.
Yeah. Almost like a sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it really is. That's what our sanctification is.
Well, right. Yeah. That's what I said. Kind of like a sanctification.
God sanctifies us, and that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this episode up here, and we will see you guys.
I can't believe we've been in it this long. It's so good.
I know. It's been really good. We can't wait to have you guys back for the next episode. So thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. Every week, we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by LaCretta Bowman.